Our second scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and understanding of his word this morning.
Thanks so much, Liz. Let's pray. Oh Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Hope you don't mind that I shed the jacket. It's a little warm up here. And I did manage to drop the mic again, so. A while ago, Dave and I were talking. We were talking about a privilege that I've had that few ordained pastors get. And that is, an ordained pastor will serve 3-4 churches in their tenure as a pastor. I've had the opportunity to preach in about 50 different churches throughout Michigan, Arizona, Florida, all over the place. Over the last, I'm not going to tell you how many years. You'd think I was an old guy. But there's always nice to be home. I kind of have two home churches anymore because I preach down at Red Path every year, and I've done that now for 25 years close. And I've done sermons here, probably 10, 12 times over the last few years. In the last couple of years, it's been hard to match up dates. When Dave's gone, I'm usually gone. But the question always comes out, what do you do that's new? It's New Year's. What do you do that's new? I've talked about a lot of personal things. One time I had the whole Northland Gospel Singers lined up here. And we didn't, Deb remembers. We had an entire sermon and song. Another time I took lines out of hymns and sang an entire sermon. I've sang. The only thing I haven't done is dance. So, have any of you ever seen a dancing sermon?
No.
You're not going to. How many of you recall, Dana Scotch that idea real quick, but how many of you recall the movie Elmer Gantry with Burt Lancaster? A couple of you do. Where he would run and he'd slide across the church yelling, "Hallelujah!" Well, number one, it wouldn't work very well on a carpet. It might be just a little tacky. So what could I do that was new? And I thought to myself, how about some country music? How many of you are country music fans? Oh, look at that. See, people don't think us Presbyterians and Methodists are kind of yee-hawy kind of people. But we are. How many of you remember George Jones? Oh, that man remembered the words. I could tell just by looking at his face. George Jones had a voice that literally cried when he sang. If you listen to his songs like The Closing of the Door, and He Stopped Loving Her Today, and Step Right In, you cannot listen to those songs without tears in your eyes. He You just simply can't do it. Part of it was his voice, and part of it was the text of his music. But later on in his career, George wrote a tribute to singers, and particularly country singers. It was called very simply, "Who's Going to Fill the Shoes?" Remember? I'm going to do a little bit of this for you. I apologize, George. You know, this world is full of singers, but just a few are chosen to tear your heart out when they sing. Imagine life without them. All your radio heroes, like the outlaw that walks through Jesse's dream. No, there will never be another red-headed stranger. A man in black and Folsom Prison Blues, the Okie from Muskogee, or "Hello, Darling." Lord, I wonder who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to stand that tall? Who's going to play the Osprey and the Wabash Cannonball? Who's going to give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder who's going to fill their shoes. God bless the boys from Memphis, blue suede shoes and Elvis. Much too soon he left this world in tears. Oh, they tore up the 50s. Oh, Jerry Lee and Charlie, and "Go Cat Go" still echoes through the years. You know, the heart of country music still beats in Luke the Drifter. You can tell when he's saying, "I saw the lights." Old Marty, Hank, and Lefty, why, I feel them right here with me. On the silver eagle rolling through the night. Who's going to fill their shoes? Who's going to stand that tall? Who's going to play the Osprey and the Wabash Cannonball? Who's going to give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder who's going to fill their shoes? Yes, I wonder who's going to fill their shoes. I apologize to you. I got to admit, the first time I heard that song, I cried like a baby. That's the music I sang my whole life. But what if you change the words just a little? After thinking about this a while back, what if you change the words just a little? Who's going to fill these tears? Who's going to stand that tall? Who's going to fill the cathedrals, the churches, and the halls? Who's going to give their heart and soul to get to me and you? Lord, I wonder who's going to fill these pews? Old Peter, Paul, and Timothy, Martin Luther, and John Wesley, Billy Graham, Martin Luther King, and all those here among us, those who've gone before us, who sat right here and prayed and heard us sing. Who's going to fill these pews? Who's going to stand that tall? Who's going to play the cathedrals, the churches, and the halls? Who's going to give their heart and soul to get to me and you? And and everybody else out there. Lord, I wonder who's going to fill these pews. Yes, I wonder who's going to fill these pews. Totally different message. Dave and I were at a conference a while back. How many of you were born after 1984? Raise your hands. Come on, I know you were born after 1984. Raise them high. Raise them high. You were. The statistics at that conference said that if you were born after 1984, only 10% of you have any affiliation with a church. Let that sink in a minute. For you young ladies and those others who raised their hands, only 10% of your peer group, or 90%, won't have any affiliation with church. And you look at secular society today, and you can see it's happened over the years. I remember the first time I was really caught up in this was in the 90s. My oldest daughter was a consummate jock, played every sport there was to play. And one summer, spring actually, a softball tournament came up. We picked up the schedule. There's games on Sunday morning. I thought, what's that? I went in and talked to the coach. And the coach said, well, that's just the way the schedule is. That's just how they set it up. There's nothing I can do about it. Yada, 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 yada. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. Sunday morning is church morning. Sunday morning's family morning. We get up, we go to church, we have breakfast somewhere. Games in the afternoon, fine, not a problem. But don't mess with Sunday morning. He was very calm about it. And he said, well, you know what, I understand, and these games aren't mandatory. I love that word, mandatory. These games aren't mandatory. But I will have to play the kids regularly who show up. Now, what do you do? What do you do? And we're faced with those decisions all the time. Now, I'd love to tell you that I've held for caved like a caved in. That was the start of a lot of that. Just this past Sunday, Dan and I were both visiting our kids. And we're having a nice Sunday morning, and our youngest granddaughter has an 11 o'clock birthday party on Sunday morning. Who schedules a birthday party for a six-year-old at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning? Someone who doesn't go to church. You see it all around you. Several years ago, 2010, this is going to pretty well date me, but 2010 was my 50th high school anniversary. Now, that's what you're supposed to say. Man, you don't look that old. Let's see, that's 18 years ago. And I was fortunate enough to each year to have this huge all-class alumni banquet. Big, huge crowd in a big hall. And the class, the 50th class anniversary, always is the keynote speaker. And I was selected to be the keynote speaker for our class. And after all that was done, I had the privilege of sitting down with Fred Meyer. Fred Meyer of Meyer Stores graduated from Greenville High School in 1939. He and his father had one grocery store in Greenville, Michigan. They opened a second one, I believe, was in Cedar Springs. My dad at that time was the manager of a gamble store in Greenville. That sold hardware and furniture and sporting goods and all appliances and all that. And Fred and his father, Hendrick, who used to scare me to death, conversed about how to move from grocery stores into other things. And Fred, being a good old Greenville boy, showed up for the reunion every single year. And in 2010, Dana, I think he was 89, 90, he was an elderly gentleman. And as we chatted, he became very, very sentimental. And he talked about building this huge empire and the things that he was proud of and the things that disappointed him. The number one thing he mentioned that disappointed him, and this is back in the 60s when they first started with Myers Thrifty Acres in Grand Rapids, selling cigarettes, but had to do it to stay competitive. Later on, when Walmart, Kmart, and all the others began selling liquor, he hated that, having to sell liquor to stay competitive. But the thing that got to Fred the most was being open on Sunday. Hated being open on Sunday. He was a man of faith. He was a man of great integrity. A man who really thought we ought to be home in churches with our families on Sunday. By the way, he had only not seen at that time only two stores Fred had not seen of all the Myers stores. One was Petoskey and one was Gaylord. And I invited him to come up, and unfortunately he didn't live that long. But here is a man of immense wealth, immense power, who'd done things philanthropically all over the world. Go to Myers Gardens up near Grand Rapids. I mean, this is a man of great influence, sitting at a little table telling me the thing that broke his heart was being open on Sunday. Who's winning? Is a secular society winning? Who's going to fill these pews? If it's that with the ones born after 1984, what's going to be like with those born after 1994 and 2004? Who's going to fill these pews? Who's going to fill these pews? Who's going to reach out? Dave preached 3 weeks on not just being a warm, welcoming, accepting church, but being a church that reaches out. Being a church that goes out into society and gives their heart and soul to reach them, me, you, them, to reach them. Let me go back to this passage from Timothy that Liz read. And I'm going to have a little different version here from the book. But listen to these words. This is Paul talking to Timothy. This is 2,000 years ago. So I solemnly urge you before God and before Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom. Think about what's being said in that statement. To preach the word of God urgently at all times, whenever you get the chance, in season and out of season, when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Correct and rebuke people when they need it. Encourage them to do right. And all the time, be feeding them patiently with God's word. For there is going to come a time, this was written 2,000 years ago, for there is going to come a time when people won't listen to the truth, but will go around looking for teachers who will tell them just what they want to hear. They won't listen to what the Bible says, but they'll blithely follow their own misguided ideas. Stand steady. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Bring others to Christ. Leave nothing undone that you ought to do. So the answer is simple. Who's going to fill these pews? We are. This whole church here in Mackinac City. We've got a new evangelism push going. We've got a new youth director to reach out to the youth. This little church here in Mackinac City with less than 200 members is going to reach out. We're going to put our heart and soul into reaching them. So the answer to who's going to fill these pews is we are. Try that one more time. Who's going to fill these pews?
We are.
One more time. Who's going to fill these pews?
We are.
Amen. Our last hymn, surprisingly, we don't find in our hymnal. And it's an extremely interesting hymn because everybody thinks it came about in the 90s when it became